Father, we come now, we come to say thank you. Thank you for this preaching moment, this moment you have blessed me and honored me with to stand and proclaim your word. We ask and we thank you to clear our minds and get our minds and our hearts ready to receive your word. And I thank you that you have said in your word it will not go out and come back void. Thank you for the fruit that it will produce. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Before I forget, I've had these for about 2 weeks. Somebody's not reading well because you lost your glasses unless you have a second pair. So if you missed a pair in the last couple of weeks, they are right here. Ye are the salt of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
Salt is a clear, brittle mineral that has been used to flavor and preserve food since the ancients of time. Today, salt is also used in the manufacturing of a large number of chemicals and chemical products. Salt has been and is a precious commodity. It's been that way for a long time. In some ancient cultures, it was often traded an ounce of salt for an ounce of gold.
My Lord. Mm.
Show you how valuable it was. The early Chinese people used to make coins out of salt and use it for currency.
Well,
in many areas across the Mediterranean Sea, salt cakes were used for currency as well. Some of them even use it for purposes of taxes. Looking in, and I don't know whether this is up to date or not, an old encyclopedia, the United States was the leading country in producing salt. The state of Louisiana was the leading state in producing salt at the time that that encyclopedia were published. So you can see that salt is an important substance. After the salt have been obtained by mining or evaporation, it is sorted by the quality and then crushed, ground, screened into batches according to the particle size of the salt.
All right.
Higher qualities of salt been ground and the particles have been used and will be used for table salt. Salt, if you don't watch out, will begin to solidify. Some of us are old enough to remember there used to be a salt company called Morton.
Yes.
Their favorite quote on their box was, "When it rained." Y'all seen it too. When it rained, it pours. They wasn't talking about the rain, it was talking about the salt. Because of the humidity, it would get in the air and it would make the salt where it wouldn't come out the box. When it rains, it pours. But now we have gotten to the place where they can put chemicals on the salt that will make it constantly flow when you try to pour it out of a container.
Yes.
Salt, we're talking about. And in the passage of scripture that was read, it said, salt, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. And in my Bible, that passage of scripture is in red writing. And they said that when it's in red, that Jesus said it. Point number one. Salt gives flavor. Food that in and of itself is unappetizing. It becomes tasty and acceptable when seasoned with salt. It is the presence of salt that makes a difference, causing us to enjoy the food that we will otherwise refuse to eat. As Christians, help me, Holy Ghost.
Go ahead.
Our function is to give flavor to the earth.
Well.
And the one who enjoys the flavor that we give to the earth is God.
All right.
Our presence. Time out. I'm gonna get back to it, but I'm calling a time out here because I want. I ask myself this question. So why are you doing this message? And I answered myself and said, because so many of believers feel like that they just wasting their time. And I thought, I said, well, today God's going to let me encourage you. I know I beat you up pretty good, but I want to encourage you today. And so try to see this message as encouraging you to keep going on. See, because what I just told you, I'm fixing to pick back up now. I told you that God is the one that received the different taste in you when you are doing what he have placed you here to do.
All right.
You need to be to the world just like salt is to popcorn. I don't like to eat popcorn that don't have salt on it. It tastes all right. But popcorn without salt, I can take it without the butter, without the cheese, or without the caramel, but it just got to have salt. It gives us its flavor. That's what we are supposed to do for this earth. That's why God left you here. You are the flavor that he received from you being here. Our presence commends the earth to God so God can have mercy upon it. Without us, and I want you to hear this, without us, there would be nothing to make the earth acceptable to God.
All right.
That ought to make somebody, Rabbi, stand up straight. Stick your chest out and say, I'm somebody. If to nobody else, I mean something to God, because I'd let the world know I'm why God still have mercy upon the earth. He dispenses his grace and mercy rather than his wrath and judgment towards the earth. It's our presence that makes a difference. Our presence make a difference. If you don't believe that, look at this same principle. If you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 32. I'm not going to read all that, but I'm just telling you where it is. And you'll understand it by and by. This is the principle where God visited Abraham with angels. Abraham standing there looking at him, and they come up and they have a conversation. And Somewhere in that passage it says, should I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And God tells him what he's going to do. He tells him, Abraham, the sins of Solomon have come up before me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go down and see if I need to judge him then. Then Abraham, being a child of God, being the salt of the earth, began to talk with him. And see, that's why every now and then when you're ministering to people, sometimes you just need to walk. Walk and talk about Jesus. As they walked and talked, I can see old man Abraham walking and talking with the angels of God. And he said, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom. Then you know the story. Abraham asked him, said, well, should the just be judged with the wicked?
Well, I don't
remember all how it is in it, but you got it in your Bible. But the gist of it is that he said, well, God, what if there's 50 of them there?
Uh-huh.
If you got 50 and all of those millions of people that's in the city, will you destroy them as well? He said, no. And the way make Baggett understand this, Abraham said, well, talking to himself, might not be 50. Suppose it's 49. God, what about if it's 45? Will you despair them then? And Abraham kept talking just like that to God, with the angels talking with him, the angel of God, and until he got him down to 5 or 10.
Yeah.
He said, I won't destroy him. And then Abraham couldn't go no lower because he knew that there just had to be somebody in there that would say, you know, we feel comfortable. The just will not be judged with the wicked. That's why ye are the salt of the earth. And if you remember the story, he got him down to, I think, 10 or 5. I forgot which one it is. But then the 3 get out.
Right.
But those 3 got out because being a child of God, ye are the salt of the earth.
Yes.
The just will not be judged with the wicked. Brothers and sisters, you need to make a difference wherever you are.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your job needs to be different because you're there. Because ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Christians must be prepared to endure persecution for your faith and for our way of life, even to count this as a privilege to be persecuted because I'm a child of God. This tells the world that I am the salt of the earth.
Yes.
I'm here and I'm gonna make a difference. God, Christians should never be included in God and will not be included in God's judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God's gonna chase me when I do wrong because I'm his child. All good parents discipline their own children when they're wrong. You still love them, but you discipline them. I'm God's child. God's going to discipline me when I mess up. He's going to chase me. He's going to convict me. He's going to confront me. But after he does all that, he's going to comfort me. Because I'm his child, and I'm going to make a difference in the world. You are the reason the world is not in any worse shape than it is now. If the Christians were to cease to pray, the world would be in a much worse condition. As bad a condition as we're in, and we are praying, we still need to pray some more.
All right.
And make a difference in the world where you live. Ye are the salt of the earth.
Go ahead now.
Before one government declares war on another, it's usually actually if they do a final warning. They get all of their people out of the place that they're going to attack.
Uh-huh.
They get them out. I'm glad you asked. I saw in your eyes. I heard you say, why? Because they don't want to kill what's already theirs. If the government and the world as wicked as they are, what make you think, help me, Holy Ghost, that God's not going to do the same for me?
Right.
When he comes to bring his wrath and his judgment, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Because I'm his child and I am the salt of the earth. I need to prove that I'm the salt of the earth by making a difference in this world where I am. If you make a difference, you will become the salt of the earth. We are heaven's ambassadors. We are the ambassadors of heaven. An ambassador have no will of their own, just the will of the one that sent them.
Yes, sir.
The ambassador to the United Nations from the United States can't go there in a meeting and say, well, my opinion is, because he or she, they do not have an opinion. They only can say what the one that sent them said for them to say. You are and ambassadors of God. If you say anything other than what the word of God says, you are a liar and a false ambassador of God. You need to say what God says. You don't have an opinion. That proves that you are the salt of the earth.
Yes.
Salt gives us flavor. And it preserves us and it makes us stay where we are. Point number two. Salt. And this, y'all ought to shout right here. Salt restrains corruption. Salt restrains corruption. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. When you're riding, especially on Valley Road, and you see the city policeman, do you just put on brakes? You ain't been on it either. Because up and down those hills, you will get above 25 miles an hour. And believe you me, they will write you a ticket. They will write you a ticket. And see, that's restraining you from doing wrong. That's what we are. Christians restrain corruption in the world. That's why you need to let people know whose side you're on. Just by your mere presence at a place ought to make a difference. It restrains the corruption. In the days before artificial refrigeration, sailors who took meat on a long voyage used salt as a preservative. But they put it on the meat, and the process of corruption was already at work before the meat was salted. Salt did not abolish the corruption that was already started, but it restrained the corruption from getting into the meat. It was corrupted because it was not yet alive. Anything that's dead, corruption is fixing to set in. It's already started. But there was not enough corruption in it to harm the meat. I know some of you probably have never seen this, but when they used to kill them hogs, they would get a bag of 5 or 10 pound salt. And when they did the mid part of the hog that made the bacon, they would take it and put it in a little box or a pan, and they would just pour salt all in it and rub it all in the meat on the front and the back of it. Then they would take it and they would put it in the smokehouse and let it set for a while. And then you would have what you call fatback, what you go to the store to buy salt and meat. You take the meat and you just bathe it in that salt and you let it set for a couple of weeks, and the salt would season and would preserve the meat. And it will go all the way through it. And you talking about good seasoning meat. Get some slices of fat back about that thick.
cut you up some collard greens and some turnips and just fry that fat back just a little bit before you put the greens in there to get the grease to come out of it. And then you put the greens in there and it cook. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Don't you leave me right here. But then that fat back that was cooked down there in the bottom of that pan that come out of that meat. When you get ready to eat those greens, that fat back have infused itself all the way through all of those greens. Help the Holy Ghost. You got to be the salt of the earth, because that's why Jesus left you here. That fat back went all the way through all that whole pot of turnip greens or mustards or cabbages or whatever it is. But the meat is still at the same place. But the flavor... Oh, good God Almighty, the flavor from it just went all the way through it. You can't eat part of it without eating all of it. We're talking about it gives its flavor. It prevents corruption from coming all over. Brothers and sisters, that's the way you need to be. Now, I tell you what you do. Don't do this. If you expect a whole lot of people to eat it, cook some collard greens without putting any season at all in them. And you'll find that you won't have too many people that are hard begging to eat your collard greens. But if you put some seasoning in it, that's the Holy Ghost, y'all. That's the difference that you make in the world, because God have left you here to restrain corruption. He puts you there. Now, we can't stop. We can't abolish the corruption, but we can stop it. We can stop it. We can hinder it. We can put it in check. We can put it in check. That's why grown folks, every now and then, see, y'all watch me. This group of people right here today, they're acting a whole lot better than they acted last second Sunday, because the flavor. The flavor is over there. She's sitting right in the middle of it, and they acting just like debutante young ladies. If she was not there, they wouldn't be acting bad, but they wouldn't be sitting prim and proper. All of them sitting there with their hands in their lap, and they just acting. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's why God left you here. That's what salt does. She's the salt. Young ladies, y'all act all right almost all the time, all of you do, but today y'all are exceptional today, because you got a restrainer. Well, if we had some boys, we may have a restrainer with them too, but don't have but one. He's sitting over there, two back there. We all right. Okay. When we restrain corruption, I said this before, but I'll say it again. You can't get it all out. You just have to stop the progress of it. You don't let it get any worse than what it is. That's why you put the salt on the meat to preserve it, so the corruption will not go any farther. That's why when you got saved, the Holy Spirit, that salt, it didn't take the old corruption out of you. It just stopped it from getting any worse. If in your worst days you told 25 lies in a day, when the Holy Ghost come in you, you'll only tell 10. Yeah, that's the way he does us. He keeps us from, but see, what he's going to do is work from that 10 to 9 to 8 to 1 to get where you, he restrains the corruption that is within us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why Jesus told them about salt. They understood it about salt. Everywhere salt is, if he would have put the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have known. Salt is a... It prevents and it preserves. That's what he does. He helps us to get to a place where we still need the Holy Ghost, but the corruption has ceased. Listen. You have to hold it in check. God's purpose of grace and mercy is to be fully worked out when Jesus come back. Then when our influence is no longer felt, corruption comes to its climax. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 through verse 12 tells us, Paul warns us that human wickedness will come to its climax. In the person of a world ruler with supernatural ability, he empowered with it, and he's directed by Satan himself. All right. The world as we know it will come to an end. Well, and he's called different things. He's called a man of sin, the son of perdition. In John, he's called the Antichrist. In Revelation, he's called the beast. This ruler will actually claim to be God. But then when the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is taken out, which is the salt of the earth, which is the Holy Spirit, when he's taken out, then and only then will the world be actually as bad as it's going to be. It will not have a restrainer. Sometime in the church, we get an attitude of passiveness and fatalism, and it's tragic and it's unscriptural. It is true that the Antichrist must eventually emerge, but it is far from the truth that there is nothing to be done about him. In the meantime, what we have to do as believers, we are the restrainer. We are the salt of the earth. That's why he's no worse than what he is. I can't say that too much, y'all, because sometimes when you are a believer, when you look at the condition that the world is in, it seems like that you're not doing any good. But I challenge you and I urge you to just keep right on praying, because you can't see in the spirit what you are driving away, what you are restraining, what you are keeping back. But God can see what you're doing. The world is not in any worse shape because you're praying. It's in a better shape because you're praying. Some of us remember how we used to be and what we used to do until the restrainer became alive within our lives every day. Some of us today got the restrainer in our head. We keep him upstairs. We don't let him go down. We don't let him get off of our head. And in our everyday life, when you allow the Holy Spirit to walk with you, thank you, Lord. When you go to John chapter 15 and verse 7, where he says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will, and I will granted. If you abide in him and let his word abide in you, you have a restrainer. The devil can't get to you, but he'll keep right on trying. You heard me say that they take the cake of salt and they break it up, and then they put it through strainers and they put it through screens. Sometime some of them are so big that they can't get through the strainer. They got to be crushed again. You got to be made again. You got to allow God to come into your life and make you whole again. God will strain you and use you for the benefit of his kingdom. You can't get too much of him. The restrainer's power, which at the present holds back the final emergence of the Antichrist, and it's in the presence of the salt or the Holy Spirit. It keeps him from coming, doing his thing. Satan desires to sift you. Satan desires to wipe you out. Satan desires for you to disown this Jesus the Christ. He desires for you to answer to the flesh. But because of the restrainer that is within you, he will not allow you to do that. Lord have mercy. Listen, 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 listen. The salt that we are, we will be sifted. We will be sifted. We will be sifted again and again and again. I watched my wife one day. She bought some cake flour. But then after she bought that cake flour, she still sifted it. Got some more stuff out of it that they thought was all right. But it wasn't bad, but it was something she did not want in the cake. So she sifted it, and it becomes finer. When you are constantly sifted, you get finer and finer and finer and finer. See, that's why we don't like to be sifted. And now, Sister Evelyn, he won't sift you enough till you disappear. You'll always be there. See, I know that's what you're thinking. He keeps sifting me and sifting me. Then, yes, you will. You'll be so fine. You'll be so fine that only he can see you. Only he can use you. Then the devil cannot get to you because you're sifted and you're too fine for him to bother with you. And then you know what'll happen? The finer the salt, the less of it it takes. The less of it it takes. When it's got big, you know what? You know, they even sell sand now. And they sift the sand. They sift it. You can get fine, 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 fine. You can get different grades of sifted sand. Why are you telling us that? That's why some of us are not as fine as the others in Christianity. Because we haven't been sifted enough. We haven't been sifted enough. It's a process you go through and you take it. And that saying is right out there. If you get one of those real fine sifters, you'll find out some of that sand won't go through the sifter. That's the way it is with some of us as Christians. When God starts sifting us, we don't go through. And you know when you don't go through, you know what's got to happen to you again, don't you? You got to be crushed. And if you think you don't like the sifting, you're really not going to like the crushing. Because he's going to break you. He's going to break you. And see, some of us need to go back through this, through the breaker. We need to be crushed again so we can become finer and finer and then go through the sifter. I know y'all don't like that part, but that's what you got to go. It is both the responsibility and the privilege of Christ's disciples to be the restrainer of Satan. And we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the forces of Antichrist and to hold them in check. Listen. We cannot eliminate Satan. All we can do is hold him in check with the Holy Spirit. Because when he is annihilated and defeated, Jesus will have come back. But he left us here to hold him in check, to restrain him, to stop him from completely taking over. All you're doing is damming up the water. You're keeping him from taking control. You cannot completely defeat him, but you can get so close to Jesus. He doesn't want to get close to Jesus because he remembers Calvary. He remembers Calvary. And the closer you get to Jesus in his word, the closer you get to letting the word abide in you and you abide in the word, he will leave you alone. For a season. I don't want you to think you have arrived. The devil is not going to leave you alone completely. If he can't get to you directly, he'll get to you indirectly. Okay. Point number three and my last point. The consequence of failure. The consequences of failure. as the salt of the earth, then we who are Christ's disciples have two primary responsibilities. First, by our presence, we commend the earth to God, to God's continuing grace and mercy. Because of the believers, God continues to dispense his mercy and his grace upon the earth. Whether all of them that receive his grace and mercy are disciples or not, he dispenses it because of you. Because of the disciples of Jesus the Christ is why the earth is still receiving the favor of God. Because of you. Because of believers. That is why God yet smiles upon the earth. He doesn't frown and look at it and say, it's bad, I'm going to destroy it. Because of the prayers that are going up from believers, this is why God yet showers this earth with his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
If for nothing else, you ought to be proud of God for doing that, because you are doing what you can do for the rest of the world.
Amen.
Second, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we hold in check the forces of corruption and lawlessness until God's appointed time. There is an appointed time for the destruction of Satan. And do you know? I don't. Only God knows.
Right.
When that time comes, God will come and Satan will be destroyed at the appointed time. Listen, the consequences of failure, if we fail, then the whole world will become Satan. Because we're here, we've stopped Satan. Listen. The salt that was in the grits that you ate this morning. The salt that was on the eggs that you ate this morning. You did not see it. If you had enough in it so you could see it, you had too much. If salt gives its flavor, when salt gives its flavor, you do not see it. It's invisible. It disappears. All you know is that it is there. It is there. That's the way you need to be. You need to have an effect on what people do. They don't need to see you to know that you're there. You just need to become invisible. Work for God so much that you're invisible. And I'm glad you asked. You can do that by depositing the salt into what you're trying to eat. The sinner is what you are trying to eat. You deposit the salt in it. You tell them about Jesus. You show them what it is to live like a child of God. You show them what it's like to allow God to work in your life. You don't have to be with them when they eat it. Most of us, if you stopped by Burger King this morning and got a egg croissant double or however you get it, you didn't see them when they fixed that. But you just take it and you eat it. And most of it have seasoning in it. That's what you do to unbelievers. You deposit the word in them and then leave it to the word to word them or to make them stand up and think about what they are reading or what you have said. You need to make an impact and make a difference in people's lives. Ye are the salt of the world, of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. That is why he left you here. He left us here to make a difference in the world. Say it, keep saying it. If he did not want you to make a difference in the world, as soon as you got saved, he would have raptured you out of here. So he wants you to make a difference in the world. So he left you here for you to tell somebody about the saving grace of Jesus the Christ. The Holy Spirit is the salt of the earth. That is what makes a difference in the world. If there were no believers in this world, I wouldn't want to be here. I would not want to be here. Wonder sometime now with all the believers that's in here if I want to still be here. Because it gets so corruption is so bad. But we have to maintain. Stay where you are. And God will get the glory. The other week we preached about taking the offense. You know, no army, it said, win if they just maintain.
Right.
You got to be advancing. You got to advance. That's why, don't y'all tell nobody. That's why when you leave here, you got to take him with you. If you just keep your God in this building, you're not advancing. You're not advancing. You're just maintaining. You just maintaining. I wrote in my grateful journal, I thank God. I thank God for 100 men, new men, in this church. In this church. Working to get them. Working to get them. And I thought about this Friday night, Brother Jones. It was only 5 of us there. And I know why the devil didn't have but 5 of them there. He trying to convince me to change that 100 to 5 or 6. But I refuse to change it. Because I ride up and down Crestview and I see men that are going no place. I see men that are going no place. And we're not training young men because we don't have them in church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Same number we had at men's meeting the other night. That's all. We will probably have them 5 when they get 35, 40, and we'll just be satisfied with those. No, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. We speak things, and God will perform. But now you got to shape your life. You got to let his word abide in you, and you abide in him. God will do. Ye are the salt of the earth. I'm going to season the earth. I'm going to give the earth the flavor of God because he said, ye are. And he have not lied to me yet. Ye are the salt of the earth. Go out and flavor the world. And the thing that I love about God, he's kind of just like the salt that's in your shaker. If you let that salt stay in that shaker, it'll stay in there. But still salt. It'll stay in that shaker. If you want it to come out, you got to pick it up and shake it. And then it will make a difference in what you're going to eat. If you just get God and keep him to yourself, he'll only help you.
All right.
But see, in order for the salt to be flavored, it has to come out of its container. You got to tell somebody about what God have done for you. If you keep it to yourself, what good is it? It's no good. It's no good. I'm through. I didn't have an illustration on my paper, but I just thought about one. And now I'm beginning to understand why when I get to looking for one, he won't give me another one, because the other one is still good. It works. You do know that in stories, inanimate objects talk. Something that's not alive and a human talks. This particular story. It's about a man that carried water to the king's house. There was a spring about 200 yards down the road from the king's house. This servant's job was every day to go and get 2 containers full of water and bring it back to the king's house. He did this day in and day out. Had the yoke on his shoulder and the 2 pitchers on the side. Every day when he got back, and y'all are going to have to help me with this one. The pitcher on his right side would be full of water. the pitcher on his left side would be half full of water. But every day that he went to the creek, he filled both of them up. Okay. Here I am. I'm the man with the yoke, and I'm walking with the two containers of water. And when I get to the place where I'm going to empty them, I empty them, and the one in my right hand is full. The one in my left is half full. So the two containers start talking. The right container said, I gave the master more water than you did. You only gave him half a pitcher. You're not any good. The container on the left side felt real bad. So they're going to the lake. And he started talking to the owner, to the man that was carrying. He said, why every day I only have a half pitcher of water? He said, oh, so you're doing all right. So you're doing just what the master wanted you to do. He said, yeah, but the other side always picking at me, telling me, poking fun at me that I only have a half pitcher full of water. So they scooped it up again and went on back. And when they got back there this day, they emptied out. And it was the same way. The left side only had a half a container full of water. So the next day they're going back. This is on the next day they're going back, and he's talking again. He said, I just don't like that. I ought to have a full container too. Why should I have just a half a container? Say, when you fill me up, I'll have a full container. The owner, on the way back, he told the pitcher on the left side, said, as we walk along, said, look down. He looked down and he saw a row of pretty blooming flowers on that side. He said, now look to the other side. He looked to the other side and he didn't see anything. Wasn't anything over there. But this pitcher brought a full pitcher of water back to the master. The other one, only the one on the left side, only brought a half a pitcher back to the master. This, the one on the left side, had done something with what was put inside of him. The other side hadn't done anything with what was put inside of him. Yes, somebody else did something with what was put inside of him, but he didn't do anything that was put inside of him. Why is he telling us that crazy story? Because all the time you don't have to see the good that you're doing. All right. But somebody that's working for God will see the good that you're doing. The pitcher on the left side had watered flowers. Didn't even realize that it was watering flowers. The master could come along and look at those flowers and enjoy the beauty of the flowers that the pitcher on the left side did. So see, what we have to do is make sure we use what God put on the inside of each one of us. And don't worry about the other one. You just do what you are supposed to do or what you can do. When you do what you can do, God will do the rest. All this pitcher did was get water, have a hole in it, and the water come out and watered the flowers. Somebody else planted the flowers, but he watered it.